close, or actually have selected, made our selection with a group called Oxford Economics, and the proposal was executed, I believe, yesterday and sent out to them for counter execution. We went through a process, and I don't want to bore you with it, but essentially the process was the drafting of an RFP, the submittal of that RFP, and we, I think, got, I don't know, 7 or 8 responses. We sent it to about 20-plus people. I think we got about 5 to 7 responses. We then met, whittled that list down to 2, brought in those 2 for face-to-face interviews, and then out of that process selected Oxford Economics. And I do think it's important to articulate, and you did it earlier, was that it was a joint effort by and between the leadership of the Convention and Visitors Bureau and the leadership of the Chamber of Commerce.
So what's the study about Kyle Fields about?
Really, it was to look at kind of 3 core things. The first item is to really go in and quantify a historical economic impact of Kyle Field, i.e. football games in Kyle Field. We all know they impact us. We all feel the impact of that when we go when we have those 7 home football games, 6 this year. But no one's really ever taken the time to really quantitative and qualitatively put that down and really measure the impact. And I think there was an interest, there was a definite interest from the standpoint of the university, from both cities, and just an overall interest, I think, to really put in the time to look at that. So point one is looking at a historical perspective. Point two is looking at a forecasted perspective. What are things going to look like now that we've left the left the Big 12 and we're now moving into the SEC? We're playing a completely new group of folks as far as our conference schedule. What are their travel patterns look like? What's the impact going to be on our community moving forward? And a lot of that will be, you're making some predictions, because obviously at the time of the study, we will not have, the study is due and deliverable before the end of September. So we will not have, I think maybe at that time, have completed 1 SEC game. So it's going to be, I think the analysis that will be done will be a lot of looking at how SEC teams travel, what their travel patterns, behaviors are like, and then forecasting what that's going to look like. And then I think the third, as part of that same component, is at some point we are going to end up with a stadium, be it a new build or a renovation, we are going to end up with a stadium that's larger than one we have today. And these numbers, don't hold me to them, I'll be accurate within probably a 1 percentile basis, but I think we averaged about 87,000 fans last year and sold out all of our home games, and that was with a stadium that actually has a physical listed capacity of less than that. And I think every design idea that I've heard talked about, be it renovation or new build, is going to be pushing that number to the 100,000 capacity size. So you're looking at increasing the capacity or the supply, and also I think it's logical to expect increased demand as we move into the SEC. And so factoring in what are those, kind of that perfect storm, what's the economic impact look for us in the future? And then kind of right in the middle is with a historical perspective, I guess taken into context the actual size of the stadium we know today, and then a future perspective, which will be a larger stadium and hopefully a larger audience and a more excitable, longer stays, et cetera. Then finding that kind of that third tier of the study is what happens if all that leaves. What are the financial implications, the economic implications of playing games outside of Kyle Field for a period of 1 to 2 seasons? And that was we were very specific in the study, in the contents of the study, in the proposal, that we did not feel we wanted to look at it both if it was an annual 1-year perspective, but we also went ahead and did a two-year because just the data will tell you it's going to be very challenging and hard to get if the decision is made to play games outside and do the renovation all at once because of cost-saving measures, that it's also highly, I guess, probable and somewhat irresponsible to assume with all the many variables from weather to unforeseen conditions, et cetera, that it could get done and only impact us for one football season. That's kind of a best-case scenario. And so right kind of down, I guess, the third prong of the stool is looking at what does that do if it's a one-year scenario or if it's a two-year scenario, what does that do to your economy? And what does that impact look like? And I think I don't know how far deep you want me to go, but I know that if you can make some assumptions in how that will manifest itself, you look at the market from a sales tax perspective and a demand perspective, this market and everyone that services this market, from restaurants, retailers, liquor stores, entertainment venues, accommodations, we are largely dependent on the demand that is driven in the third and fourth quarter of our fiscal year, all attributable to Texas A&M home football. And if you remove that demand, what does that look like? Because there is also a high probability that you not only remove all the demand of Dallas and Houston and San Antonio and all your major MSAs coming here, but I think if you assume the numbers Bill Byrne conveyed to us in the economic forum at the beginning of the year, and I believe February, about 18% of the consumers to Texas A&M home football are from the Brazos Valley. So if they're all going to Houston, they're not here on Saturday either to buy breakfast, buy gas, buy drinks, buy cigarettes. They're doing all that on the road to Houston and doing it in Houston or on the way there. So could be a very devastating impact to the community. And I think the purpose of this study is to quantify and qualify all three of those scenarios. So a look back, a futuristic look, and then what does it look like if all that leaves for a year or 2 years?
And it's not just 1 or 2 years that there's no football games. Isn't there a recovery period after that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what these economists are going to do. We went with a group that I think is very I feel extremely confident, and I think any person that was part of the selection group would tell you the same. I think why we actually ended up picking Oxford as our favorite was that they have a very, very strong bios and resumes, and I think any of their output and econometrics and the basis of the study will be very defensible in the face of any academic that chooses to challenge them. And yes, you bring up a great point, is that I think it's going to be one of the guys actually equated it to the oil spill that occurred in the Gulf Coast, is when that disaster occurred and you have this major migration or flight of all of these tourists that come in a predictable pattern to a predictable place, when it's all cleaned up and the beaches are ready to go, they don't just all of a sudden all return. there's a very slow migration, and you have to get people conditioned to coming back to the same pattern and doing things in the same way, and it is not a overnight solution. And I think that decision, and this is my personal opinion, would be devastating to our local economy, and it would trickle down all through the school districts. It would affect the Brazos County. It would affect all our core services, and I think it would be devastating in the short term, and it would be it would be irresponsible of me to think, or anyone else, that it would be this immediate bounce back to the way things were. I think you could have a big attrition in business completely, where a lot of your service providers are going to not survive at all. And with that, even if there's restoration of new service providers, the one thing that in the debate is the current service providers that have been here, we understand how to manage A&M football. We've done it for a long time. And it's different. It's unusual. You have to staff correctly. You have to handle inventories differently. Everything is strategically different. And the new guy that comes in and replaces the guy that's gone is going to go through some inefficient times trying to wrap their hands around that. So does that make sense?
Yes, and in fact, it goes back around full circle to why it was important for the CVB and the Chamber. It's not just it's just not a football season lodging issue. Again, when you talk about the majority of many businesses' income is going to come from September through November.
Yes, and you make a fantastic point, Bill. It was a strategic and logical reason why we decided to partner, because Royce Hickman, the director of the Chamber, was hearing from a lot of his membership that if this happens, we're not only not going to, we're out of business. I mean, we're done. we cannot weather this storm. And you got to look at it, Bill. Every business, whether it makes a dollar a profit or breaks even or makes millions of dollars in profit, it is an economic generation hub, because if it doesn't yield profit to the owners, it is still collecting and capturing sales tax, it's paying property tax, and all of those are funding your general funds. And if you look at the breakdown of property tax, the taxable values, the largest recipient of taxable values are the school districts. And every commercial business, my hotels, for example, their values are based upon income. And if you take and remove, and if you shock my income by 30%, I'm going to go down and make a hell of an argument and compelling case to the tax district that my facility is now worth 30% less. So if you apply the same tax rate to a $10 million building that's now worth $7 million, and you factor that in across, you know, every commercial business in town, you tell me what that does to our education system and our services, our core services like police and fire and everything else that we all depend on.
You made the reference about Oxford. This is not going to be their first rodeo.
If you look at kind of the body of work of Oxford and some of the things that they've done, they did the economic impact for the 2012 London Olympics, the economic impact of the Gulf oil spill. They've done a ton of stuff for the state of Texas. They've done a lot of economic impact studies for the Grand Prix when we were actually in the interview. And this actually came out as almost an all shucks moment, is the consensus was this, is that if Oklahoma shut things down in Oklahoma City, it's impactful, but there's a lot of demand generation. There's a lot of business there. If the Texas Longhorns leave Austin, it makes an impact. But you've got the legislature, you've got the capital, you've got a lot of other things that drive demand in Austin, Texas, right? If Texas A&M football leaves College Station, it's devastating. We are completely more dependent upon the university and the impact that the university makes, and specifically the sports in this community, than other communities that have major colleges. Does that make sense to you, what I just said?
Oh,
that,
sure.
That was kind of some of the debate. And specifically, I mean, if you look at the Oklahoma as just a metropolitan statistical area, if you look at Austin as a metropolitan statistical area, and if you look at the businesses there, the corporate demand generation, where are all the employees, it looks stark, considerably different than College Station, which is an MSA of 220,000 people, 60,000 of which are students. I mean, this is the reason the city's named College Station. My point in all this, and it was actually a point that The Economist arrived at in our discussion, as they listened to all the guys from the Chamber and the CVB talk, kind of pepper them with questions, is they're the ones that actually linked it to, this is a disaster equivalent to the oil spill, and how if you look at along the Gulf Coast, the majority of the economy was dependent upon tourism. And when you turn that spigot off, and their tourism demand driver was their beaches, right? People don't go to Gulfport, Mississippi, because Gulfport's a fantastic place to visit. They go there because the beaches. If you take away the beaches, you take away everything. People don't come to Bryan College Station seven Saturdays in September, October, and November because we're a great place to visit. They come to watch Texas A&M football, 90,000 of them. You take that away, it's devastating.
And you said that the study is going to get wrapped up by the end of September then?
Yes, we've got them on a pretty tight time frame, and the reason that we're on such a tight time frame is because the university, I guess, is making their decision. If we wanted our numbers, figures, facts to be considered in the debate, we needed to have it done by early September. We want to make darn sure that our study is complete, ready to go, and will be evaluated and considered as part of the decision. It will be a contributing factor, we hope, in the ultimate decision that gets made.
So once the study has been wrapped up, will there be some sort of CVB and/or chamber recommendation or conclusion to the university?
Yes, I think. Well, there's an agreement to share that proposal, and the university is very well aware that we're doing it. Part of what was included in the proposal is a media campaign. We want to share those numbers with the media and educate them and let them do what you're doing today, is kind of spread the word and share. There's what gain have we served if we get all these great this great data and nobody and, no, and we don't share with anybody? So I think part of the idea is to definitely adequately get it in those in the correct hands so it can be distributed and used to educate the community. Because you know, I think President Lofton said it best in one meeting: is we all kind of have this global agreement that, wow, home football really makes a big impact here, but nobody, including the university, has ever quantified it. No one's ever taken the time or hired anybody to truly measure it and figure out what it really looks like. What is that number? So I think everyone's anxious to see, seems like, rather than just leaving this big vortex of vagueness, let's pin it down and get some detail and specificity and some measurables and some numbers.
To me, from the outside looking in, it's a surprise to nobody about how big of a deal it is. You're just waiting to see from a numerical standpoint just how big of a deal it is. Having said that, then, why not come out now with a recommendation that, for instance, build a new stadium on West Campus so that we can continue to have a football in College Station?
Bigger powers than me making that decision, my friend.
But it wouldn't stop you from, or I shouldn't say stop you, but it wouldn't stop CVB, Chamber, or other organizations from saying, you know, this is the biggest, this is the biggest worst-kept secret.
Well, and I think part of the reason we're doing this, Bill, in a pragmatic, logical approach, is rather than making the argument be emotional and one based in anger and fear, let's try to really quantify and wrap our hands around the actual impact. And I think that was really the entire premise and basis of this study and why we agreed all the way back to January this year to proceed in such a fashion, because we wanted to be educated. We wanted to have good, hard evidence and good, hard facts. And I think that always leads everybody to make the best decision. You just can't make a good decision on that, in my opinion. And I felt like the leadership of both the chamber and the CVB agreed with that and said, let's, you know, if we have the opportunity to quantify it, let's do that. Let's not sit out there. Let's be proactive. Let's do it. And I think it helps and validates your voice, right? People take you more serious if you've invested and you've put in the work. And I think that I applaud the leadership in both those organizations for proactively doing this, because it takes time. I mean, this process started in January of this year, and we're just, and even though, you know, we're already in middle of June, it it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, going through the process and selecting the best partner to come and to really do the work and put all this together, that wasn't done fly by night, seat of our pants overnight.
Well, the other thing, you can agree or not with this thought, that this is the same thing like bringing in the federal contract for the vaccine thing, or like any other economic development or travel or tourism issue. There are other cities out there who would love being able to get any piece of the action of A&M home football games, and it's in the best interest of the CVB and the chamber to do what it can to make sure those games stay here, and this study is going to go towards making that happen.
You said it extremely well, and I agree with you. I think we all have a vested interest in doing that. If you look at the core of our mission at the CVB is, you know, to promote a healthy tourism environment. And I think if you, in the genesis of the mission statement at the chamber is to protect a healthy business environment. And that's why early on in January, it made a lot of sense, and it was very practical and logical for those two organizations to combine forces in moving forward with this initiative, because our memberships are holistically the same stakeholders. We're going to be equally yoked in this. We're all going to be affected. So we're shared. We're definitely partners in this, and we want to. You said it best. I mean, that's why we want to be proactive. We want to have good facts and have good numbers, and like you invest. I mean, I think it's important that you really invest and you don't make it about emotion. You make it about facts. You make it about measurables. You make it about real numbers. And that's a sign that you're taking it serious and you want to have good facts at the table. And I think that if you're in a position of making the ultimate decision on what happens, I think you take people a lot more serious that come to you with good relevant facts and good relevant data produced by industry respected, internationally respected people versus emotion, anger, sadness, fear. Those things are just that they're not qualitative. They're just wasteful.
Well, and those final decisions are not going to come exclusively from people on College Station. They're going to be statewide and nationwide, and I'm not sure if there's anybody from overseas that might not have a hand in this.
I think you're correct, and I feel like that if you're going, we've beat it over and over. I just think that going through this process and hiring somebody to put everything down in real numbers really is going to help us all make a much better decision.